John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. David Grantham, a veteran of the United States Air Force, an armed federal authority once upon a time. He worked with the Air Force in Afghanistan at the worst of it in Bagram Air Base, and in Iraq at the very worst of it during the late months of Zarqawi, who was eventually killed by a U.S. Air Force airstrike north of Baghdad in the middle of 2006. But here we are 15 years after Zarqawi's death. He was Murder Incorporated, and Murder Incorporated has changed its address. We now call it the cartels that are running the human trafficking, the drug running, the contraband running, the weapons running, and possibly also the penetration of our southern border by our enemies. The cartels run it. David works on these matters for the Secure Free Society, and his website has an elaborate and extremely helpful diagram of how networks work together. So my first question is an innocent one, David. The Zarqawi network and the integration of al-Qaeda into the Sunni and Shia conflict that was 2006-2007, does that help? Does that interpret what we're seeing with the cartels today, how they work together, how they recruit on the American side, how gangs in America are working with the cartels as far north as Chicago? Is that a revelation, or do we know what that is and we should apply the methods we learned in Iraq, David?
We learned quite a bit in Iraq that is helpful for today to understanding the concept of networks. I would argue that the network situation in Iraq at the time I was there, and what I recount in my book, was a smaller version of what we are encountering today, in that it's more ideologically driven, so there is an affinity for shared ideas, and within that, there may be different skill sets, but they're all driving towards a similar goal. What we see today, especially in Latin America with Mexican cartels and their connection to states who sponsor them, like Venezuela, like Iran through proxies and Hezbollah, they've achieved a larger network concept and operation that includes people who have no interest in, let's say, the drug trade or the human trafficking trade, but they know the business is very lucrative, and therefore they will use their skill set, whatever that may be. It may be a lender who has connections to the banking system who can move money covertly. They're not a cartel member. They're not used as a person directly supporting some sort of illicit activity, but they do have a skill set that can assist them in order to achieve some of that. The networks today incorporate all these different people with different abilities, different assets, access to different things. That's what makes them much more complicated, is the more people that join that network, the more lucrative the network becomes, the harder it is to dismantle it.
The Bolivarian threat network you analyze, is the Bolivarian threat network driven, financed, integrated with the Al-Quds force, with the IRGC? Is it also integrated and networked with Cuban secret police? And by extension, that would include some connection to Moscow. Is all that working together, David?
The short answer is yes. The Bolivarian threat network originated out of Venezuela, and Venezuela, under the leadership of Hugo Chavez and now under the leadership of Nicolas Maduro. And they have built a network that reaches into those places that are, have a, political affinity, such as Cuba, who has long been a partner of the Venezuelan regime, but it also touches countries like Iran and those other groups, as you mentioned, that support them through any number of means. We know, for instance, Hezbollah and the IRGC have worked in money laundering for cocaine distribution. We also know that they have been training Venezuelan operatives in order to carry out attacks against the United States. So there's a symbiotic relationship. There's a political affinity. And then there's the financial commitments that are tied into these Bolivarian threat networks. And you mentioned Russia. China is another one. They come in with loans offered to finance these different countries. And in turn, they receive influence, power, and monetary benefit to those loans. So these networks are, each one may have a different reason for participating in this network, but they're all there. And it's a very dangerous organized grouping of different states and organizations at a place that's not far from our southern border.
You're living in North Texas, and the governor of Texas and the Department of Public Safety in Texas and Texas law authorities along the border have been very clear that the migrants pushing into the United States are overwhelming the authorities. We know this for housing. At the same time, a Wall Street Journal reporter tells me recently that the Department of Public Safety in Texas believes that the cartels are using the migrants, these waves of unaccompanied children, these extremely tragic family situations, to overwhelm the authorities because on one part of the border they're running rafts of children across and they have to be intercepted. On another part of the border, they use that very moment to get across guns and money and drugs. Is that true, David, to your understanding?
Absolutely. And this is not new. The key here is not so much how they're doing it, but the strategy. And the strategy has always been distraction. In Latin America, there is, unfortunately, there's levels of corruption between governments and borders that's something that we don't in the United States encounter on a daily basis. So where corruption thrives, it is easier to move people, weapons, and money under the protection or under the view of government officials. And in the United States, once they reach our border, the ability to corrupt becomes a bit more difficult. So therefore, distraction and overwhelming the system becomes the priority approach to moving drugs and weapons, etc. So drugs have been moved this way over the border for decades, where, for instance, you may encounter a vehicle with drugs and you make a bust, or I say you, the border patrol or whoever, whatever U.S. agents are down there. Meanwhile, the cartel is moving drugs at another part of the border. More drugs, higher end drugs. So they allow for, some drugs to get caught. That's a standard practice that's been around for a while. And today they're merely using children. And it shows you both depravity of the cartels that they would sacrifice children, the survival of these children for the mere purpose of overwhelming the U.S. system and to get their own drugs and weapons across the border. It's one thing when they sacrifice drugs to move more drugs. Now we're talking about sacrificing children in order to move the drugs. There's a depravity there that we have yet to really get our mind wrapped around, I think, in the United States.
David Grantham, the book, his new book, Consequences, an Intelligence Officer's War. This is David's memoir of his time when he was at extreme risk at Bagram Air Base with the Air Force, at Camp Buka with the Air Force, in Iraq with the Air Force. And today he is a senior fellow at the Secure Free Society, using his skill set taught by the Air Force and by security in the U.S. to analyze what is going on in the southern border, which is Zarqawi times 5,000. Good heavens. All the bad guys, all in one place. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.